Life and the World. Your editor, Frank Blair.
Good evening. Tonight, the continuing crisis in Tunisia. The lead story in the news today is the French-Tunisian situation is deteriorating rapidly. To examine the reasons for this, to present a point of view from the side of the French government and a point of view of the Arab League, with a summation of our own by Leon Pearson, we devote our entire program again tonight to this grave situation. First, from Washington, French Ambassador Hervé Alphon talks with NBC reporter Herb Kaplow for this Life and the World exclusive.
Mr. Ambassador, what are the circumstances, the official explanation by the French government of last Saturday's bombing of Sakit Sidi Youssef?
It's a pure self-defense operation. From this village, for months, we had a number of aggression, either from bands coming from the village of Algerian rebellions, or from anti-aircraft shooting our planes. And we did nothing for a long time. We warned the Tunisian government that it was impossible to accept such provocation. And at the end, we decided for purely military reason, purely defense reason, to destroy the anti-aircraft nest and to destroy the rebellion camp in this Tunisian village. It was self-defense. Tonight, I can tell you, there is only one desire, that we can have a direct conversation with the Tunisian government and find a way to control the border and avoid those incidents. Of course, we can't do that in the present circumstances with a sort of threat or blackmail of the Tunisian government, of our troops in Tunisia, of our numerous French citizens in Tunisia, and threatening of closing of our consulate in Tunisia. That's impossible to think that we can have any sort of negotiation with the Tunisian government before those threats are canceled.
By that, I gather you're saying that you are not going to comply with the Bourguiba demand for withdrawing the 15,000 French troops from Tunisia.
We will not do that because this is an ultimatum of Bourguiba and will not negotiate under duress.
There has been some discussion within the past 24 hours by both the French, or coming from both the French and Tunisian governments, of taking the matter to the United Nations.
I think there was a request of Tunisia yesterday night to the United Nations, and there will be, or there is tonight, a request of the French government about repeated aggression from Tunisian soil in Algeria.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other thoughts you have on this subject, Mr. Ambassador?
I want to express my hope that reason will prevail, that without violence, we can reopen negotiation between France and Tunisia. For the good of Tunisia, for the good of France, for the good of the free world as a whole. I think there is a time where we must be quiet and see calmly the situation. Such time is now here now, in my view. I think the future can be very bright for those two countries who were for a long time close friends and associates.
That, exclusively on Life in the World, is the point of view of the French ambassador to the United States. Equally important in the Tunisian crisis is the point of view of the Arab League. This in just 60 seconds. But first, hear this.
Right how you feel, blue and miserable with a deep down cold? Listen.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take bromoquinine.
Every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Bromoquinine.
More people have taken more bromoquinine cold tablets for more complete relief than any other cold tablet ever sold. You could use aspirin or cough syrups or nose drops all day and not get bromoquinine's relief. Bromoquinine works to relieve stopped-up nose, body aches, fever, irregularity, the blues, and headache too. Yes, more complete relief for even virus colds. For bromoquinine is the only cold tablet sold with wonder-working quinine and five other medicines health fortified with vitamin C. Remember,
every second someone takes it for the miseries of a cold.
Millions more take bromoquinine.
Get bromoquinine brand cold tablets.
The Arab League is a powerful unifying organization of the Arab world. Here in New York, Ambassador Rahim is the representative of the Arab League and is also a United Nations observer. With action in the United Nations possible on the tense Tunisian crisis, the words of Ambassador Rahim have special importance. NBC's UN correspondent, Pauline Frederick, explores the basic elements and dangers inherent in the situation with Ambassador Rahim now.
Ambassador Rahim, will the French attack on the Tunisian village of Sakhiet have any general effect on the relationship of the Arab nations to the Western world?
Well, I think, Ms. Frederick, this will have a great effect on the relation of the people of the Arab world and the Western world, given that the attack has been premeditated by a member of the Western world, an important member, France, given that the armament used in this attack is American-built. Also, taking into consideration that France have been lately receiving important financial help from the United States. So the people in the Arab world feel that with American-built planes and with American money, France is able to wage a war against the independence of the Algerians and against the people of North Africa.
Is this going to make the Arab people feel that the Soviet Union is more friendly to them than the West?
Well, it's very difficult to answer this question, Ms. Frederick, because friendship has to be proved by those who profess the friendship. All the Arab world now is waiting and looking forward what will be the position of the Western world and what will be the position of the Soviet Union. And on the position of both parties, they would judge who is friendly and who is not friendly.
What would you regard as a satisfactory position of the Western world in relation to this crisis?
Well, I think the real attitude of the Western world is to say to those who committed the wrong that they are wrong. Secondly, that the root of the evil of this, which is going on now, is the Algerian problem. So let us find our way to solve the Algerian problems, and so that we'll solve all the difficulties with the North African people and with the Arab people.
Well, but do you feel that this attack makes it any more difficult to solve the Algerian crisis?
Well, I hope that this attack will arouse the world conscience, and the pressure will bear on the French people and the Western powers to find an early solution of self-determination for the Algerian people.
There you have the two sides to today's important story, the Tunisian-French crisis. How do these statements add up? We explore this with Leon Pearson in just a moment on Life in the World.
When they play it hot and you dig the beat, oh, life is swinging, life's complete.
You make it Pabst, 'cause Pabst makes it perfect.
Yes, Pabst makes it perfect. Just as we always have ever since 1844. So next time, you make it Pabst, because Pabst makes it perfect. America's Blue Ribbon Beer from the Pabst Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, Pabst makes it perfect.
We have presented the two sides of a grave international question, the Tunisian crisis. You have heard from the French. You have heard from the Arab League. Now for a summation by an expert on this trouble spot number one for the Western world. Leon Pearson, NBC News, was for many years correspondent in Europe. Recently was on a journalistic assignment to North Africa. Leon, what is the background on this crisis?
Well, Frank, I think both of the ambassadors we've just heard would agree on one thing, though perhaps nothing else. Namely, that the root of the Tunisian conflict is the Algerian conflict. At this point, I dare say many Americans are saying to themselves, why the Algerian conflict? Why don't the French clear out of Algeria? That war is costing them more than $1 million a day. Are they crazy? Well, the French are crazy enough to want to hold on in Algeria for a lot of reasons. The French settlements there reach back more than 100 years. And the Algerian French would say to you or to me, my family has been here since 1850. I'm an Algerian. I've never been to Paris. Why don't you get out of Texas and turn it back to the Mexicans? Well, this is the old argument. Now, the new one. The French want to preserve their new lifeline, which happens to be an oil line. I understand the word Sahara means emptiness, but the French have discovered lately that the Sahara is full of wealth. In the heart of the African desert, the surface is wasteland, but under the surface, a vast treasure of natural resources, especially oil. At a time when France's particular enemy, Colonel Nasser, stands astride the Suez Canal, and when Moscow's particular friend, Syria, stands astride the pipelines of Arabia, prepared to cut them as she did in the recent war over Egypt, a new source of oil, beyond the reach of Egypt or Syria, or Iran, whose nationalization of oil is still remembered. Such a new source, lying within French territory, crossing only French territory to reach France. This could mean the economic salvation of a country which needs precisely that. As a matter of fact, all Western Europe is in the same fix, having no independent oil supplies. And all Western Europe is watching the new oil strike in the Sahara and the construction of the pipeline, 10-inch size already completed, and the construction of the newest pipeline, 24 inches now building, and watching also the political state of affairs in Algeria. The oil line begins at the bleak Sahara oil derricks, a place called Hassi Messaoud, 450 miles south of the Mediterranean, and runs to a rail terminus at Tagour, and from there tank cars to the Mediterranean coast. Now, if the French pull out of Algeria, the Muslims would lose no time in nationalizing the whole operation. Facing this prospect, the French some months ago were considering an alternate route for the oil, through Tunisia, believe it or not. But that route is not very attractive today, which merely strengthens the resolution of the French in Algeria. They have withdrawn politically from a lot of areas since the war, Syria, Lebanon, Indochina, Tunisia, and they have proposed reforms in their administration of Algeria. But an actual withdrawal, with abandonment of interests there, will come, I think, only when it begins to freeze at Hassi Messaoud in the Sahara.
Thank you, Leon. Leon Pearson. And that's Life and the World. I'll be back in just a moment.
The financial section of your newspaper doesn't list your heart association, but you happen to be one of its stockholders. Let's look at the assets. Your heart association's research program has already contributed to the development of surgery, new drugs, and advanced methods of diagnosing, treating, and preventing diseases of the heart and blood vessels. Research must continue if we are to find the answers to such serious health problems as hardening of the arteries and high blood pressure, two conditions that cause about 90% of all heart damage. Your Heart Association offers you the opportunity to share in the fight against heart disease and to reap the dividends of future progress against America's number one cause of disability and death. When you invest in your heart fund, you're investing in the future of your heart and the hearts of your loved ones. The dividends are longer and happier lives for your family. Send your dollars to your local Heart Association or to Heart in care of your post office. Remember, the ticker to watch is your heart.
You'll wonder where the yellow went.
Special sale, save 27 cents on two giant tubes of Pepsodent.
This is Frank Blair concluding this 145th edition of Life in the World. Tonight's program was developed through the facilities of NBC News and Life Magazine.
This is NBC. High-protein Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats adds juiciness to meatloaf and hamburgers. Recipe on packages.